Because, yeah, I mean, even the difference between the Nationals and the Mets on a true talent level can be wiped out by 162 games of whatever. Massive, 2009 Mets level injuries to the Nationals, huge breakouts from Mets pitchers. It can happen, but it's not likely. Salutations, Mets fans. Welcome to this week's edition of Amazing Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Amazing Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me this week is Steve Sippa. Steve, as we do on Amazing Avenue Audio, we will start with an opening question. How fucking good are the 2015 Mets?
Pretty good.
We discussed this a little bit with Joe Sheehan last week on the show, and he did not come to that conclusion. But I'll tell you what, after watching this series against the Nationals, I also agree with Joe that it just doesn't matter. That was incredible baseball. There's no other way to put it. I mentioned this on Twitter a while back. It seemed like the good Mets teams in my lifetime have all been pretty predictable, even like workmanlike at times. The 99 team was a little bizarre, certainly. And there was maybe a similar amount of chaos early in the season internally with the team. But they were still a very good baseball team. 2000 team, very good baseball team. 2006 team, very good baseball team. The late 80s teams of my youth, 88 teams specifically. They sort of went about their business. They had really good players. This team's been very Metsian, I guess would be the way to put it. It started a few weeks ago. I started really back at the trade deadline. We know this. All of a sudden, the offense got fixed. Besides that, the offense got fixed and the team got better. It did, certainly. But now there's a little bit of electricity in the air. Like, you never feel like the game is over. I mean, Steven Strasburg tonight, recording this on Wednesday night, and this is episode 138 of Amazing Avenue Audio. We should get to that part as well.
He was dominant.
He looked as good as any pitcher in baseball. And a healthy Steven Strasburg is as good as any pitcher in baseball. He's in the conversation with guys like Kershaw and Sale and, Jacob deGrom and Matt Harvey and Felix Hernandez and Corey Kluber, whoever you want to name. David Price. Name them all. And it just looked like one of those games where it's just you gotta tip your cap. The Nationals are playing for their season, and their two best players, Bryce Harper, I don't say their two best players, but their two sort of most notable players, Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg, both had games. And what are you going to do? You're still 5-up with 23 to play. You got 2 out of 3, which is what you need to do coming into the series after they cut it to 4. And then Kelly Johnson hit a dick high fastball in honor of Wilmer Flores, who he was pinch hitting for over the fence. And then it's Yoenis Cespedes.
What a transformation he's been for this team.
At what point do we start talking about him as the greatest trade deadline pickup ever? And I know Beltran, certainly in the conversation, Manny Ramirez in 2008 was just absurd. But in terms of really transforming the team, I don't think that either of those players had as much of an effect as Cespedes did.
No, I mean, he has, he's hitting like 25 or 30, whatever it has been, extra base hits. and 34 RBIs in like 35 games when he doesn't do something productive. I find that surprising instead of him doing, good. So
it's just like you knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
When he came in against Storin tonight. Or when he faced Storin last night. Poor Drew Storin. This is like Brad Lidge against Albert Pujols every night. Like some sort of like Black Mirror episode. This is only going to give me his season line, which is not what I actually want. Let's see. I can eyeball. But coming into play tonight as a Met, Yoenis Cespedes hitting 307, 354, 660. And then he went 2-for-4 with a home run. So those numbers are going up.
That'll help the line.
This is 35 games he's hit 14 home runs.
Yeah, literally it's every other day. I think he has like an RBI a day and a home run every other day. Yes. That really is unreal.
It is, and this stuff happens. Carlos Gonzalez has had a month like that, month and a half, 6 weeks. Joey Votto's second half is, if you go and look at the numbers, just otherworldly. It just doesn't happen to Mets fans.
Right.
Is what it comes down to. When Mets trade for a big superstar, it's Roberto Alomar or Jeremy Burnett or Carlos Baerga. I guess technically I think they signed Alomar as a free agent, if I recall correctly.
Oh, Mike Hampton. On the pitching side of things,
Mike Hampton
hasn't. I don't think he had the impact that Cespedes is having, but he certainly had an impact on that team.
But that was an off-season free agent signing for a team coming off a playoff appearance. He was more like sort of the final piece of the puzzle.
Yeah,
Which I guess Cespedes turned out to be, though I don't suppose we really expected it at the time. So I posed this question on Twitter today. How, assuming the Mets win the division, how high an MVP vote does he get? What's the highest vote he gets in the National League MVP voting? Not where you would put him.
I think he gets a smattering of first place votes.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's probably going to happen. You're probably right.
I don't find anything necessarily wrong with that. I don't agree with it, but if you want to base the MVP vote on the player that had the most value to his team in the standings and whatever else, you can't argue that Cespedes has had a major impact on the NL East race.
I mean, if you want to talk about pennant leverage.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to, like, individual game leverage. By F4, he's been almost worth 3 wins. He's a little bit lower in Baseball Reference's WAR because defensive runs saved doesn't love him in center field. But it's something else. You look at this team now, and it's such a strange feeling because it's such a different team than it was even 6 weeks ago. We've talked about, whenever I do media hits, I talk about sort of like a tale of two seasons.
Yep, we left Panic City in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. I don't think there's a bad matchup for them in the playoffs at this point. Wilmer Flores was hitting 8th. He's basically a league average hitter. This is a legitimately good major league offense now.
Yeah, with right back, if Duda is actually going to, stay in the lineup and produce, Kadire is just kind of sitting around. He's still a useful piece. I mean, this is a good lineup.
And they could literally go into the playoffs with a bench of, like a regular bench of Kadire, Uribe, Kelly Johnson, Tejada, EY. And probably EY. And a backup catcher of some sort. That's 6. I guess it's a 14-11, yeah.
Not a bad bench.
Baseball team. This is weird. I don't...